Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and you're listening to this week's edition of The Public Eye right here on 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and online at WICN.org. And no, I have not been drinking this evening. It's unusual because of all the organizations that I have either heard of or been part of, whether it's hobbies or just part of lifestyle. I can't tell you how many neighbors love to go jogging together and get together as a group, or maybe hikers or skiers, whatever it may be. But what about the vast majority of Americans who wear eyeglasses? There's really no, that I'm unaware of anyway, there's really no organization for a wide majority of people that at one point or another in our lives require eyeglasses, whether it be, you know, prescription or just a set of peepers that I call them peepers that I wear just to be able to be, you know, able to magnify, when I read or whatnot. But it is something that is vital to our lives. It has been in vogue for years, for decades. But nobody's really ever talked about it. That is until right now. My guest this week is author David Dunway. His new book is A Four-Eyed World, How Glasses Have Changed the Way We See. And I thought, geez, this is so interesting. So we've asked Dave to join us this evening to talk about, first and foremost, what caught his attention and why the idea of eyeglasses, as I said, caught his attention, and he put it all between the pages of a book. So for the next half hour, sit back and enjoy as we talk with David Dunaway. Dave, nice to have you with us.
A pleasure.
This is, as I said at the outset, not something that, you know, people get together to talk about and say, let me see your glass. I mean, I suppose people do that, Dave. I've got neighbors that talk about everything under the sun, and I'm sure at one point or another they talk about that. Many wear glasses 24/7 or just periodically for reading or depending on the type of work that they do. But I never gave it thought. I personally, and I think most people would feel the same way, never really gave it much thought that the vast majority of people at some point in their life, if not throughout their entire life, wear glasses or peepers or magnifiers just to be able to see and get through day to day. What caught your attention, I guess, is where I'm going with this.
Well, let's start at the beginning. I'm someone who couldn't cross the street without glasses. I've been wearing them since I was 5. If you're hearing about this and walking around today with a piece of glass or plastic between you and the world, I say you're a member of a 200 million person community. You may never have thought about it. We have no organization that meets annually in Las Vegas, but you're a glasser. Somebody who sees the world, who works and walks through the world with a piece of plastic or glass in front of you. Hey, that's better than four eyes, which is a name thrown at people with weak ones. Four eyes, according to Webster, is a term expressing contempt or dislike for someone who is, quote, physically weak, unlikely to engage in a physical activity. The funny thing is that this disdain for those of us who are bound to wearing lenses is nothing new. Prejudice against those who rely on visual correction began as soon as glasses were invented and continues in different forms to this day. Many who wear glasses growing up have never stopped to consider how this bias, in some cases, affected their development and personality, how people like myself have internalized the early impressions that wearing glasses made in the playground, in social activities. So we're a group that hasn't known its name, and I'm giving us one.
It's interesting because you're exactly right. I remember in grammar school, second, third grade, fellow students who had to wear prescription glasses. It's just the way it was. And that name, Four Eyes, was quite common. I, you know, at the time, nobody probably gave it a second thought. But as I'm listening to you this evening, and I'm thinking, what kind of a, you know, what did that do to that individual? It made him feel, you know, I'm not normal. I'm not like the rest of them. You know, it just made somebody feel uncomfortable. And yet without the glasses, you know, their life obviously would have been miserable. It's something that they needed. Something else that came to mind, because you mentioned it in the book, how far back. Oxford scholar, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Roger Bacon was the pioneer of the science using lenses in hopes of helping people during medieval times. And yet, he was ostracized. You know, he was pushed aside and condemned for trying to help people see better their lives. How weird is that, Dave?
Well, as soon as somebody figured out how to hang glasses on a nose, somebody else denounced the idea. God gave us the eyes we deserve, the early church said, and who are we to defy God? It was even worse for Roger Bacon. This is a guy who started Oxford at age 13, okay, from a well-off family who fell afoul of the so-called good King John, who the fellow who was working on the Magna Carta, and ended up really imprisoned for trying to help us find a way to see. It's not a happy story, but this guy was so brilliant. In fact, some people call him the first scientist for his adoption of a coherent method for changing things. He studied Arabic and Persian scholarship from the 10th century. Now, there weren't a lot of monks who already knew Arabic and could read these texts, but from his scholarship, he learned how lenses could bend light to compensate for near and far-sighted vision. The Catholic Church, again, was opposed to, for a variety of reasons, to actually accepting this. Some people have speculated that this was connected with the fact that the church itself was controlling the amount of esoteric information people could access. And others say it was just something new and called the devil's servant, these poor little glasses that were in those days two quarter-sized pieces of rock crystal. Eyeglasses became quite controversial, and Bacon was put in a medieval, the equivalent of a medieval jail cell. He was a Franciscan. For saying that, you know, there was a way to fix those of us who come into the world with without lenses, and basically struggle to see. Ironically, by the time he was finally released, someone in Italy, a monk, had just invented a pair of glasses. But that wasn't going to be Roger Bacon's fate.
Yeah. Unfortunately, because he had the foresight, no pun intended, to see that there was a need and something that would vastly improve people's lives. It's almost unconscionable that the people didn't see that for what it was. But you know, different times and different places. I just want to take a quick pause to remind our listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Vona, host of The Public Eye. My guest this week is author David Dunway. His new book is A Four-Eyed World, How Glasses, yes, glasses, the things that we all take for granted, have changed the way we see, and a very interesting take on the origins of the eyeglass. And yet, David, here's the part, and I'm sure you feel that way, and you did feel that way even before sitting down to write the book, is that why ostracize, why criticize, why even stand in the way of any improvement to someone's lives? And as you state in the book, and we know this for a fact, all you have to do is walk through your local town, your neighborhood, your city, and you'll see the multitude of people who wear eyeglasses for one reason or another, mostly because it improves our eyesight, helps us to function in our daily lives. It's almost like, as I said, unconscionable to think that people back then, and maybe even to some degree, today, as I said, when I grew up in grammar school, especially those that had the thick lenses. I mean, some people's eyes were worse than others. And, to compensate, the eye doctor would, write a prescription for a lens that was thicker, maybe a frame that was thicker. And, and people got criticized for it. And I'm sure that really made a lot of people feel, feel unhappy and not feel good about themselves. So in your research for the book, do you delve into that at all as to, the emotional toll that anybody who's had to wear glasses either throughout their life or at some point in their life have had to go through?
In A Four-Eyed World, I report the science on how glasses wearers are judged positively and negatively. People think people behind lenses are trustworthy and smart, maybe from all that book reading, but unsocial, awkward, maybe even unattractive, though I think that's changing. Somehow they think when people put on glasses, they change their personality. Study after study has repeated this. Today, maybe it's changing somewhat. In our era, 16 million people today wear glasses without any correction, simple transparent glass. But they like the frames, which become a fashion accessory instead of a medical device.
Right.
And they like the fact that they can somehow change their image just by putting something on their face. And they also like the positive side of wearing glasses, the image that it creates, like somebody you're really glad to have when a chemistry test rolls around, but maybe not so glad when you're thinking about inviting them to the prom.
It's interesting that you said, as I'm listening to you, the fashion statement today that, obviously was not in vogue, centuries ago when this was all coming to be in Bacon's time. But yeah, I think it's strange how this thing has evolved to the point where even people that don't necessarily need them for any particular reason still, still want a pair of glasses on their nose because it gives them, as I was listening to you, I'm thinking of, British singer Elton John. Every time he would come out with an album or did a concert, it seemed like he had a different style, and he probably did. The frames sometimes were, larger than need be, different colors, and that holds true for a lot of people today. You don't have to be in the entertainment industry or the fashion industry, but I guess what I'm trying to say, and what's ironic, is that it's come to be a fashion statement, right?
Well, today, one of the things that's changing the attitude to those of us who wear glasses, and this is, as I said, a big part of of this book we're discussing, A Four-Eyed World, which isn't quite yet in the bookstores, is this notion of what glasses mean in the public sphere. A newspaper a century ago said that wearing glasses was a bit like brandishing your wooden leg in public. today we have a lot more choices in fashion frames. Yes, many people wear glasses with clear lenses as an accessory. And so one might say, have prejudices against wearing glasses ended? Well, I have to say yes or no. From the beginning, and certainly through the last two centuries, women and girls have been suggested not to wear glasses. Some thought it made them look different or less attractive. Some thought that it revealed a disability in some cases, particularly those with the thick lenses, that kind of got in the way for being seen who they really are and instead focused on their physical conditions. And those conditions, it was thought, might deter suitors because if children were involved, then they would inherit that myopia or hyperopia, farsightedness.
Yeah.
So this is something that has, well, it's 750 years more or less since glasses were first invented, but the stigma against wearing them came up most strongly in the last two centuries, and as I say, is slowly changing as films have helped, like the Harry Potter films, have helped us rethink what it means to wear glasses. And, you know, I know people who I speak to who said, oh, you know, you talk about how there has been prejudice against four eyes, but me, I wanted glasses when I was growing up because they made you look cool. Well, uncool previously, cool in our era. There is a change, and it's not quite over. You know, Al, if I can continue here, the famous humorist Dorothy Parker wrote, "Men seldom make passes at girls who wear glasses." And I'm not sure that that's true today, but the part of this that we really need to focus in on is that glasses shaming is not something from the distant past. It's part of our culture today, and it mainly affects kids who are more sensitive than some of us remember to the taunts, to the teasing, to the bullying. It's still going on in our own time.
I have to agree with you. I mean, I'm well beyond the grammar school years. But as I said, you know, I do remember whether it was a boy or a girl being ostracized because they wore glasses. And I can see that that would have a long-term effect on the individual and how, you know, how males viewed women. And I didn't even think about, Dave, it was interesting you said that, you know, thinking, hey, you know, I wouldn't want to date her or perhaps get involved with her because then chances are, through the genes, if we ever got married and decided to have children, the kids would need glasses, and I don't want that. But on the other, on the flip side, at least for me personally, when in college, or if I had to visit with an attorney or met an attorney or a doctor, somebody you know, who had advanced degrees and they had the you know, the starch collar and the crisp suit, and then the glasses, and I thought, oh, this person really knows their stuff because they've got glasses. and I'm thinking,
you know, it's funny because the first glasses worn in the American colonies, and I guess that certainly includes Massachusetts, were actually called pulpit glasses because it was preachers who needed them to read out their text.
There you go.
and that was where glasses began to spread in the colonies. Although we weren't making them ourselves, we were importing them all until the middle of the 19th century. Glasses were something foreign, literally. They came from far away. We didn't have an American optical industry until, and Massachusetts has always paid a large part in that because some of the largest glasses manufacturers were based in New England and particularly in Massachusetts.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. It's just how this whole thing, and that's what's compelling, you know, within the book is the changes through people's attitudes. What was once looked upon or frowned upon has, in many ways, as you said, it's still evolving, but in many ways today has become a fashion statement. Of course, there's always those that overdo it because they, I'm going to wear the frame. They extend beyond beyond one's face. And those are those rare circumstances. But, we've all seen them either in a magazine or in a movie or on TV. And you think, why would people, did they look in the mirror before they leave the house? It's a fashion statement. And they figure they're going to garner some attention by doing that. But the stigma, I'm glad to hear that at least some of that stigma, especially for young people, because it's unfortunate that a young boy or a young girl has to grow up feeling that they've been singled out because they need glasses to be able to see and something that would better their lives. Totally unfair, but that's for the next book, Dave.
I was thinking about calling this book Four Eyes, but as I worked through it, I began to see that it was really about how we see the world and the way that glasses opened up a whole possibility for people to work later into life, for people to literally make sense of the world around them. Yes, I said things are changing, but I was watching the film fairly recent, few years back, Wonder Woman, the new version, and right in the middle of the film, the star was given glasses with clear lenses as a disguise, and told that way you'll look less pretty. it's this feeling that people who wear glasses are in some sense deficient is still with us.
Yeah.
And I think it's about time that we glassers thought of ourselves as a community. I mean, anyone who wears glasses knows the drill. You go through the eye exercise. You're sitting there nervous in the doctor's chair, and, does this one or that one, A or B? And you finally walk out with your lenses, and you don't realize you've been given a life sentence of cleaning and maintaining. Keeping track of them. And so on the surface level, people who are glassers are seeing themselves differently once they put on those lenses. Others are seeing them a certain way,
right,
based on stereotypes that we live with. And sometimes the results are, challenging,
to say the least.
Difficult. And sometimes they're advantageous.
Right.
Sometimes people take advantage of those stereotypes and they say, if glasses make people seem smarter, why, I'm going to get me a pair even if I don't need them. And then people around me will reevaluate me.
Well, Dave, I don't mean to cut you off, but because we only got a couple of seconds left, but that's why I wear them, because I thought, you know, people would look at me and say, well, there goes an intelligent guy. It hasn't worked that way for me personally, but I'm going to keep pursuing that route and finding the right frame that someday it'll turn my life around. But anyway, I want to thank Dave Dunaway, author of the new book, the forthcoming book, I should say, A Four-Eyed World, How Glasses Change the Way We See. Dave, real quick, if people want to reach out to you directly, how might they do that?
Well, best way, maybe through the site for the book, which is called afoureyedworld.com. They can find all about me, more than they might want to know. but that's where the book lives, and that's where people can find it, afoureyedworld.com. The book won't be in the stores until 2 weeks from now, 10 days from now, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, of course, they can go to their local independent bookstore and support them,
right,
and ask them to carry it, ask them when it's coming in. And Bloomsbury is the name of the publisher.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, Al, it's been nice talking with you. It's rare I get a chance to really open up and let people have some sense of what it means to wear glasses today,
and to see you through lenses. How's the old saying go? To see you through glass covered lenses, and to see someone who's had the guts to talk about the stigma that is attached to wearing glasses. And I'm glad, you know, that it is ultimately changing, but there is still stigma out there, and it does impact many people's lives, especially young people. So we hope that people would be
I just have one quick thing I want to say, and that's that we live in a time of myopia, an epidemic.
Yeah.
Twice as many people are now wearing glasses as did in the United States 30 years ago. And there's a very simple solution I want to share with your listeners. And it goes like this. If you can get your kids outdoors, your grandkids, your kids, your nephews, your nieces, outdoors 2 hours a day when they're growing up, there's less of a chance that they'll need visual correction. Get them out under the sun. It's fine if they want to read. We'll have them bring the book outside.
Yeah, yeah, sounds good.
And all of this is a way of avoiding particularly myopia.
Good advice. Good advice. Again, I want to thank our guest this week, Dave Dunaway. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios, the WICN, 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. Certainly welcome that. That's Al Voner at WICN.org. For the public eye, this is Al Voner. Thank you so much for tuning in. ¶¶